Oh, we'll get your Bibles and turn to with me and keep them open if you would. Got a couple places I want to go to this morning, and I'll take you several more. We want to begin in Acts chapter 7 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You'll find those two places. Acts chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Where is God? If a child asked you, where is God, what would you tell them? Well, God's everywhere. The Bible says that when you sit down, he sees you. When you get up, he sees you. When you speak, he hears you. When you think, he already knows your thoughts afar off. He knows your words before you ever say them. David said, how wonderful. It's too wonderful for me to know. In other words, I can't figure him out. He said he's in front of me, behind me, around me. He besets me, David said. He said, if I got wings and flew, couldn't get away from God. He said, even in darkness, it's same as light. Things you do, pitch dark, nobody sees, God sees. God knows all. But yet God has chosen some places to dwell on the earth. Now I want to share with you a thought or two about God's dwelling place. I know the Bible says that he dwells in the high, lofty places of heaven. We know that he has a home, what we refer to in as the third heaven. And I know when Solomon built the temple, as magnificent as it was, he knew that things that man built with their hands could not contain God. But here in Acts chapter 7, the question is asked in verse 47. Says, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? That's Acts chapter 7. Look at, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Paul writes about our bodies, and he's talking to those who are saved. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's this body you're looking at right here. This is my earthly house. This is my tabernacle. And if it were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What's going to happen is this, and I want you to hear this, and I'll get to the message in a moment. This body is going to be with me forever. The only thing is, this body, when my life here is done, will die and go back to the earth. If I go, my soul, my spirit will go be with the Lord if I'm saved. When I come back with the Lord, unless I'm alive when he comes back, when I come back with him, my body will be resurrected from wherever it lies. And it will be changed. What is now a mortal body will be an immortal body. What is now a corrupted body will be incorrupted.
Amen.
But I will have a body. It's a heavenly body. It's one that will endure forever. My soul, my spirit is already destined to last forever, but my body will be changed. So this is just a tabernacle tent that's waiting for that transformation. But it would be transformed one day at the resurrection. Look back, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, "For we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens." Verse 2. "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." In other words, I don't know about you. Now, Joy said that she's looking forward one day, getting old. She's not over the hill yet. She's still climbing up. But many of us, we find ourselves groaning. We find things happening in our body, and you get 60, 70, 80. The body just don't work like it used to work. There's a lot of things that hurt, and we begin to look forward to the time when we get a new body. And this old body was be done away with. And we look forward to the heavenly body. Look on in verse 3. "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." In other words, we're going to have a body. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is who? God, who hath given unto us the earnest of his Spirit." Now, the earnest of the Spirit is a down payment of what you're going to be later on. You've got the Holy Spirit of God in your body. We'll look in a moment. Your body is a temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. "Know ye not that your body is a temple of God?" Your body is a temple of God. God has given you the Holy Spirit to dwell in you as a down payment of saying, yes, you still live in that body full of pain, grows old, that gets calluses and will soon die a physical death, but you have something inside of you that knows that you have life and you have life eternal. You have something that you know that the best is yet to come. And so it gets you looking forward to what waits ahead of us. Earnest is a down payment of what we will be. We will be completely full of His Spirit. We will have no sadness. We will have no dissatisfaction. We will have nothing at all, no sin, no evil thought. Nothing will ever enter into these new bodies that are waiting for us when we receive them. Amen. Thank the Lord. Verse 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Now, let me share with you a few moments the type of house that God wants to dwell in. Now listen to me just a moment. There's four houses that God prepared to dwell in here upon this earth. The first one was He reached down into the earth and He formed a man. And He breathed in the man the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. Now the fact that he become a living soul means that he would never, ever vanish away, die. He would never, ever cease from being alive. And so therefore, whether you go to heaven, whether you go to hell, your soul is a living soul. Now, He made this man and called him Adam. He made this man in a triune being, a body to deal with the physical world, a soul to deal with the emotional world, his thoughts, his affections, and all the things that we've taught the soul to be, and his spirit. His spirit deals with the spiritual world. It's through the spirit that you are able to worship God and pray to God and do all those things. And God created man, Adam, as a tabernacle that he would live in. And so he built and designed this building that he could live inside of Adam. And of course, all went well. And by the way, that's what separates you from animals. This new, or this higher form of education wants to lower the value of a human being and make you equal or below animals. My friend, the fact that you are a living soul and you have a spirit makes you above any animal that ever lived. Amen. And so God created Adam to live in. Now we know what happened to Adam. He desecrated his house, the house that God chose to live in, and he sinned. And when sin came upon Adam, sin was passed upon all human beings. The moment that he sinned, and God told him, the moment they ate of the tree, he said, "Thou shalt surely die." He died spiritually. Therefore, when he died spiritually, God moved out of his house. To be dead spiritually is to be separated from God. Now listen, when you are born into this world now, you are born with a body, you are born with a soul, but your spirit is dead because of sins and trespasses. You are separated from God. You must, if you want to go to heaven, and by the way, God's salvation is not trying to get you in heaven, it's trying to get God in you. Because what happened is Adam lost God. He was separated from God and he died spiritually. And you must be born again to be have your spirit brought alive. And until you accept you, unless you are born again, you shall perish. You will die and go to hell unless you've been born again. Your spirit has got to be made alive. Your spirit is dead in trespasses and sin. Not only yours, but mine was too. I had to be born again. So Adam, God chose to make this man Adam a house he would live in. He desecrated his house and God moved out. And when God did, Adam died spiritually. Later on, when sin was finished, he died physically. You know why? Because that's what sin brings to you. And so therefore, what we find was that God separated himself from Adam. Therefore, what happened when Adam lost his spirit and he died spiritually, his body and soul was left to make decisions for himself. Therefore, what happened, because he no longer had the spirit, when God come hollering for Adam, "Adam, wherefore art thou?" he ran and hid himself. Because no longer he had the spirit, and by the way, the spirit is a part of you that allows you to commune and worship with God. And because his spirit was dead, he no longer wanted to talk to God. He went and he hid himself behind a tree. Because then he was being controlled. And can I say this? If you've never been born again, you really don't want to talk with God. You don't want to fellowship with God. And you don't want to be present in the presence of God. And if God come looking for you, the first thing you do is want to go hide yourself. How many of you remember when the Holy Ghost of God convicted you of sin and began to deal with your heart about your salvation? You wanted to run. Run from God. Hide from God. But there was no hiding. And therefore the Holy Spirit brought you out and he convicted you and he drew you to come to Christ. And you had to make a decision. Either you fled from God or you was drawn to God. Now, so Adam, God lost a house that he had made. Now later on, God came to a man by the name of Moses. He told Moses, he said, "Moses, I want you to build a tabernacle." He said, "This tabernacle is a pattern of what is in heaven." In other words, there's something in heaven where the mercy seat is, where the Holy of Holies is, and where all those things are. And he says, "I want you to build this like things are in heaven." And so he gave him the dimensions of how to build the tabernacle. He said, "I want you to build this." And it had four layers of covering. The last one was a badger skin. And to look on the outside, it was ugly. Old gray, dull. But on the inside was beautiful. Silver and gold and all kinds of precious colors. And so therefore, that's what it's like with God. On the outside, you look at Jesus and there's nothing to be attracted to. But when you go on the inside and you see who and what he is, He's beautiful. There's nothing like him. He's given a name above all names. But here, God told him, he said, I want you to build a tabernacle. Now again, just like man, he built man in three parts, the body, soul, and spirit. He said, I want you to build an outer court, an inner court, and a holy of holies. Those things represented the same thing man did. Deal with the physical world, the emotional world, and the spiritual world. And all three compartments had a purpose. And so what we find was that then God came and he dwelt in the tabernacle that Moses built. And so he dwelt in the Holy of Holies behind this big old thick veil. Now the trouble was nobody at that time could come into the presence of God but the high priest one time a year. And he had come just the way God designed it to come because he was pointing a picture of how Jesus would take his blood up to the Holy of Holies in heaven and pour it on the mercy seat of God for us someday. And so therefore, the high priest that was a shadow of our high priest that Jesus is now, that he had to do it just perfectly. And if he didn't do it perfectly, he can cleanse himself, confess himself, and do just what God said, he died. But when he went in there, he could go one time a year and he could not go and enter into the presence of God without blood. But now, so what God did was, he allowed himself to dwell in the tabernacle that he had told Moses to build. And then we find that Solomon come along, and God allowed Solomon to build a temple. He allowed him build, because Moses was always moving, the place that God, the house God chose to dwell, was a temporary tabernacle, a tent that they could take down and put back up, take down, put back up. And then we find that it come time in David and Solomon's life that they wanted to make a permanent building for him to dwell in, and they built Solomon's temple. It was a temple to God. And so therefore, it was a magnificent temple, and God chose to dwell in it. Again, he chose in the Holy of Holies, and again, the same thing applied as is in tabernacle, applied in the temple. Only the high priest could go behind the veil one day a year on the Day of Atonement, and he had to go just the way God prescribed it. He died, and he had to take blood, and if he didn't sprinkle the mercy seat before he come in the presence of that, he died. Because God, to come in the presence of God, only you could come through the blood. Amen? Now, so God chose to dwell there. Then, of course, because of Israel's sin, God allowed Babylon to tear down Solomon's temple. Then, after 70 years being in Babylon, he allowed Israel to come back into Jerusalem. And there, the temple had been destroyed, and he allowed Zerubbabel to build another temple. And then Zerubbabel's temple got destroyed, and then he allowed Herod, in the days of Herod, they built another temple that was in existence when Jesus came. Now, each time that they had a temple that God dwelled in, a house he dwelled in, they allowed sin to desecrate that temple. Now, notice, and God moved out of the temple. So notice what happened in Matthew chapter 21. When Jesus came on the scene, we had Herod's temple that God was supposed to be a part of and was supposed to be present in. They had been allowing things in his temple. And you know, Jesus went into the temple and started kicking over tables. Some people didn't understand that. And turning over tables and grabbing a whip and driving people out of the temple. And somebody said, how could the Son of God act that way? But look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 21. And notice, if you would, in verse 13, and you'll find out why he acted that way. The Bible says in verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it what? Boy, there's a lot of den of thieves anymore. These people running around here and claiming to be in the ministry, and they're getting filthy rich and they're living like rock stars and movie stars and all that. Don't buy into that a minute. Amen. What they've done is they've made they made those things nothing but a den of thieves. But look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 23. Then later on, Jesus came. He wept over the Jerusalem and over the temple. And he said this in verse number 38. Because of the sin and because of what they had done, he said, this temple that Israel has had, that God chose to live in and dwell in, to let you all come into his presence. Notice what he says in verse 38. Behold, your house is what? Left unto you desolate, empty. In other words, God's moving out. He moved out of Adam's house because of sin, and now he's got tired of the tabernacle, Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple, Herod's temple, and he's moving out. No longer will you find him in the temple. Those of you would in chapter 24 there of Matthew, verse number 1 and 2. And Jesus went out and departed into the temple, and Jesus and his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And you know what happened? You go over Jerusalem right now, you know what kind of temple you're going to find? Zero. You know why? Right after Jesus made that prophecy in 70 AD, Titus and the Roman army come in, destroyed the temple that was there in Jerusalem. Not one stone was left on another, just as Jesus predicted. And you know what? God is no longer meeting in the temple in Jerusalem. That's not where you find God. Then God raised up the perfect building. He made the perfect house in which he would meet. He called forth his son to come into the world through a virgin, not being tainted with man's sin, not being tainted with man's blood. This virgin was to be impregnated by the Holy Ghost. It would be God incarnated. It would be man, but yet it would be God. He would walk upon this earth and he would have no sin. He would never know sin in his life as he walked this life and the things that he did. And even when he was tempted just like we are, yet without sin. Amen. He was a perfect dwelling place of God. The Bible said when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit come down upon him like a dove, and he was possessed by the Holy Spirit, went into the wilderness to be tempted. And look here, he was a tabernacle of God walking around, the perfect tabernacle. But yet, again, God made the perfect house. He wanted to dwell. And yet, sin came into this house as well. But there was only one difference. It didn't come because of Jesus. It came because God took all of our sin and put on this perfect tabernacle. And this tabernacle, who had perfect fellowship with God, who knew God and fellowship with God and taught with God and worship, and he was God. And this tabernacle, this perfect one without sin, that was able to do what nobody else would do, he hung there upon the cross of Calvary, and all of a sudden God desecrated the temple by putting the sin of the whole world on this man. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he was made sin who knew no sin. And this perfect tabernacle that God dwelled in, God had to leave him and turn his back upon him when he took the sin of the whole world upon him. And he had to look up and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Amen. Now, then God, because of the actions of that perfect tabernacle, because of the actions of that man, he found another house to move into. Now listen to me. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I quoted it earlier, but I want you to read it for yourself. The Bible says what? Know ye not that your body is what? Verse 19, I'm sorry. Chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is what? In you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. In other words, God said, okay, now what I've done is, whoever will believe upon him, I'm going to make you my temple. I'm going to come into you. I'm going to dwell in you. Now, I've dwelled in Adam, and I had to leave Adam. I dwelt in the tabernacle, I had to leave it. I dwelt in temple, I had to leave it. I dwelt in my son here upon this earth. And I've left my son to presence, and he's up in heaven now at the right hand of the Father. And now, whosoever believes on him, I'm going to come in, and I'm going to make my house in you. Now look, if you would, in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, stay with me just a minute more. I want to bring a truth out of this. You'll stay with me. John chapter 14. And just stay in John, because I'm going to come back to verse 2. John chapter 14, look if you would in verse 16. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may what?
Abide.
Abide with you when?
Forever.
Listen to me. Please listen. God said, okay, I'm tired of moving. How many of you have ever moved? How many of you likes moving? Let's talk to Rick back there. Yeah, Rick. Rick is a genuine authority of moving. Amen. He's got it down pat. But look here. If you ever move, you hate moving. And God said, listen, I was in Adam and made my house there. I had to move out because of his sin. Tabernacle, temples, I had to move out because of their sin. I had to leave them desolate. My son, perfect. No better tabernacle ever made. And now I had to place upon him all your sins. And now I had to turn my back upon him. And I had to forsake him while he was upon the cross. Yet I promise you that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I forsook him. And so here he says, now I have made to whosoever will believe, I have made them my tabernacle. And I am never going to move out no more. I'm tired of moving. Not going to move. Look if you would in John, again, chapter 10. In John chapter 10, notice in verse number 28. John 10, 28. Notice what it says. And I give unto them what?
Eternal life,
and they shall what?
Never perish,
neither shall any man what? He said, listen, now I've decided to make a temple. I've made this my temple. When I made this my temple, I moved in there, and I will never move out again. I'm not going nowhere no more. This is my last place I'm moving. Now what I've done is, I made this one my temple that believed. I made this one my temple believe. I made this one my temple believe. And this one my temple believe. Anyone who will believe, I'll make them my temple. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man ever pluck them out of my hand. Look if you would in chapter 5, verse 24. Chapter 5 of John. John chapter 5. Look if you would in verse 24. Verily, verily, and when you find that, it means there's a truth that he wants you to get down pat. I say unto you, this is Jesus, he that heareth my word and what?
Believeth
on him that sent me, hath what? And shall not come into what? But is passed from what? I'm going to tell you something. Those who doesn't believe in eternal security and eternal life doesn't understand that God, when he's made this last move, he decided to make whosoever will believe upon Jesus, they're his temple. He's going to move into him. Their body becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost. He's not going to move out. I don't care what they do. You say, well, what if I sin? David sinned, he didn't move out. Peter sinned, he didn't move out. And every one of you have sinned since you've been saved. And he hasn't moved out. Doesn't mean that we don't have to pay and suffer sometimes for our sins. Doesn't mean that God doesn't have to deal with us about certain things and our sins. But I want you to understand something about God. He said, I'm going to make me a place, and now this is my last place I'm going to make, and when I make it, I'm going to dwell there, and I'm not moving out. And whosoever believes upon me shall not perish. They have everlasting life, and you can cut that word up any way you want to make it, but it means that you'll never die. I don't care what they try to preach and what they try to teach. I want you to understand, when your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost, God is not going to move nowhere. Look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4, my last place I'm taking you. Notice, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice, if you would, the very next last verse, or verse 30. Let's look at it. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what? Sealed. You know what the word seal means? It means God's put his stamp on you. It means that he sealed you. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says, there is a part of you, the seed in you, that cannot sin. Now, the flesh can sin, but there is a seed in you. Your spirit cannot sin. Your spirit tries to tell your soul what to do. Always try to do the right thing. His spirit witnesses with your spirit, and your spirit tries to convince your soul to do it. Your spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the spirit. And therefore, the flesh is always telling your soul, do this. The spirit is always telling you, don't do it. And therefore, you are between a battle. But I want you to understand something, that you are sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day that you are redeemed and you get your new body and you get rid of this old one. This old one has flesh. The new one will not have no sinful flesh. This old one has a sinful nature, a fleshly nature. Your new one will not have that fleshly nature. When you get up in heaven, you'll not have any desire whatsoever to do wrong. Never, ever. You'll not ever have a wrong thought. You'll never have a wrong word. You'll never sit there and be cross with one another. You'll never have somebody saying something to you, thinking something different. Everything up there will be perfect in the new bodies. And so, therefore, what we need to understand is that here, Paul said, we have a tabernacle. And again, remember this and get this down. It will not be destroyed. And please get this. I said it earlier, but I want to emphasize this. Somebody said, well, they won't get me saved so I can go to heaven. God wants you saved so he can get in you. Heaven will be your home when he gets in you. But his goal is not get you to heaven. His goal is getting you. Because when he comes in you, he's not going to move nowhere else. He's going to stay with you. And what's going to happen is, if Martin's saved and truly saved, then what's going to happen is, if he's alive when Jesus comes, he will be changed. And he will have his new body and be present with the Lord. If he dies before Jesus comes, his body will, if it falls in the sea, it'll give up and come back in resurrection. If it falls in the land, it'll come back. Because when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those which are alive and remain shall be caught together, meet him in the air. So what happened is, if he dies before Jesus comes, if they bury him in a coffin, and I've told Chris, we've talked about burying and so forth. I said, I don't care what I'm buried in. I don't care if I'm thrown in a hole in the ground. It don't bother me. Because when God comes back, he's going to get me wherever I am. You can throw me to the fishes, and I'm okay. You say, well, what if 100 of them eat you? Then 100 of them's got to give me up whenever Jesus comes back, amen? Because I'm going to be changed. And he's going to bring this body back. And so what's going to happen is he's going to make me in a body that I am going to have eternal heavenly body. But yet, even though I'm right now and Martin right now sitting here, and I can tell you already, he won't mind me saying this, he sins. But you know what? God's in him. And when God gets through with him, he will have a body that will not sin. But because of his belief and trust in Jesus, God has given him and promised him eternal life in which God can't lie. Now stay with me a minute. I want you to get this. Even those who are not saved, death and hell will deliver up the dead that's in them. And they will stand at a judgment before God, and they will be given a body as well to endure the damnations of hell for eternity. Just as those who are saved will have an eternal body to rejoice and praise God throughout all eternity, you will have a body that will endure hell. You will not be hid from God. Death cannot separate you from God. He will call you forth and he will give you a body, and you'll be cast in the lake of fire, and there you'll be tormented forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And don't buy into this idea that you don't have an eternal existence in hell. The Bible teaches eternal existence in hell, same way it does eternal existence in heaven. So this morning I want to ask you this question. Does God live in you? If God lives in you, his spirit is witness. Your spirit has been made alive, and his spirit witnesses with your spirit that you are a child of God. If God lives in you, he is shed abroad by his Holy Spirit the love of God in your heart. You show me someone who's mean and hateful and always running everybody down and can't get... I'll show you somebody that doesn't have the love of God. I don't care what they say. My point is this. God says, I'm tired of moving. I'm going to make something that I'm going to live in forever. And even though you may think, well, I'm not much right now, when God gets through with you, you'll have the perfect house. And he'll have the perfect house to live in. But until then, we are just tents and tabernacles and temporary, waiting for our permanent home. And yes, we groan every day when we look at ourselves and say, God, please hurry up with that new home. Get me out of this mess I'm in. But I want to praise God for one thing. When he moved in, he ain't moving out. And even though I fail, he has imputed Jesus' righteousness to me and made me a child of God. And I'll forever be a child of God. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Let me ask you this. Are you saved? Have you been born again? If the Lord come today, would you go be with him, or you be left behind? What if you died today? Would your soul go down to hell, or would it go to heaven? The Bible teaches that when you die, your soul goes waiting for the resurrection. There's a resurrection for the just and a resurrection for the damned. Which resurrection would you be waiting for? Which location would you be? Jesus came and made a way. Because of the cross of Calvary, what happened to him on the cross of Calvary, where he took on our sins and he was made sin for us, he made a way that God can come and live in you. And one day, when we see him, we will be like him, and we will have the perfect house. Just as God prepared the perfect house through Jesus, we will have the perfect house because of him. Amen. How about this morning? Would you come if you're not saved?